So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and last time we left off at verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. And today I wanna talk to you about a truth. What is the truth? You know, in the world that we live in, that line between the truth the imaginary is getting very blurry, right? We don't know what is real and what is not, what is not real, and that line constantly is moving. You know, it wasn't too long ago where truth was truth, but now more and more in our society that what we hear is, hey, that might be your truth, but that's not my truth. Now, as a society, as people, they have started to decide what is true for them, not necessarily what is the truth, right? And that is a direct attack on the scripture, because one of the things that those of us who believe in Christ, who have made Him our Lord and Savior, we understand the scripture to be the standard of the truth. What is in the scripture is the truth. There is no negotiating with that. And as we see the influence of the AI increasing in our society, what used to be so easy to tell what was true and false, now it is getting harder and harder. Because before, you might hear something and you can say that that's a hearsay, or it's a gossip, or it is a, you know, it's not an eyewitness account. You know, it's somebody else is telling you, and the information gets watered down. But now at this point in our society, we cannot trust our eyes because of AI and what AI is able to do. It is sometimes impossible to tell fact from fiction. They can put you. AI can take you and put you in a place where you were never there, and your own eyes can deceive you. Especially when we look at everything through the lenses of a camera. When we look at everything, right? Even with television and the news, when it became popular, we were always looking at things from the lens of the camera. And so it's a limited narrative that you used to get, because the television itself, although you are watching it, they are not showing you everything. They are showing you what they want to sell you. And with AI, that has just gone to another level. So the truth is under attack. And when I say the truth is under attack, that means the scripture is under attack. Because somehow, some way, you can disapprove the scripture. Now we do not have to live by that moral code given to us by God. And so, as we have been talking about, and it seems like that lately, no matter where I turn, no matter where I teach, no matter what portion of scripture we are in, there is one subject that keeps coming up over and over and over again, and it is the subject of false teacher. Those who twist the truth to appease the crowd, or to spread their agenda, their false agenda, misleading people and doing the devil's work. And we have seen that in 2 Timothy over and over again. I mean, I don't want to say 2 Timothy, but just to the epistles that Paul wrote to Timothy, over and over again, he's warning Timothy about false teaching, false teachers. And that's what we have in front of us today. And I hope you guys don't get bored with this message, but I have to say for all of us, you know, I think it's imperative. I think God wants to show us hey, you need to be diligent. You need to be careful about what you are learning and who you are learning from. And so, as we read this portion of scripture, and it's a lengthy portion of scripture that I'm going to try to cover it because it kind of says the same thing in the next 13 verses. What Paul is telling Timothy is, hey, you need to be a guy who stands for truth. And through this word, God is telling me and you, we need to be people who stand by truth, that stand with truth, and that we proclaim truth, and that there would be no compromise in our life, right? It's not my truth. It's not your truth. It's what the scripture says. You know, oftentimes, you know, I get challenged, and that people will say, hey, why do you say this, right? Who made you the authority of this? And I always tell them, I said, I'm not the authority. You know, the authority is the word of God. If you show me your point or the point that you are trying to make from the scripture, okay, fine. But the authority is the scripture. Authority is no pastor. Authority is no men. It is the word of God. Whatever doctrine we believe in, it has to be from the word of God. And it is so important that we understand this, because we are living, right, in the world of deception. This world is full of deception. As I said, you cannot trust your own eyes. You cannot trust your own ears, because they can replicate your voice. They can replicate what, your every action, right? And so we need to be very, very careful. And so Paul here tells Timothy in verse 14, he says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of hearers, okay? So what does he mean when he says, remind them of these things? And so in a simple words, he's telling Timothy that whatever I just wrote to you, the first 13 verses that we just studied, remind them, meaning those who we met in verse 2, the people who he was going to train, those who are he was going to trust the teaching with, right? They needed to be reminded that you are a teacher, you are a soldier, you are a farmer. Okay, you are an athlete. You need to remind them of these things. So he's looking back at what we have learned in a first 13 verses. Remind them of the responsibility as a teacher, as a soldier, as an athlete. Okay, and then what we learned last week. Remind them of the necessary sacrifice, because look who made the sacrifice for us, that Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Remind them in that sense of the preeminence of the Lord that we serve. Remind them of the power of the word, as we looked at last time, that the word cannot be bound, right? It cannot be chained. The word is going to do the work it is intended to do. And then in verse 10, he says that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And then as we ended the Bible study last time, the last three verses kind of told us, right? If we endure, we will reign with him, right? This is what Timothy needed to remind them. A positive call to action. Just remind them of who Jesus is. We're charging them before the Lord. It's a solemn commandment. Some of your translation might even say solemnly commanding them. That's a very strong verb in the Greek language. Not only a strong command, but it says before the Lord. Some of your translation might say in the presence of the Lord. Right? A responsibility that you have been given in the presence of God. So when you let somebody down, it's God you are letting down. Remember that. It says not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. This is speaking of, once again, false teacher. That word ruin is an important word because in the Greek, that word is katastrophe. Katastrophe is the Greek word, which is translated here, ruin. Katastrophe, that's where we get the English word catastrophe, right? It means to overturn, destruction, right? Overthrow. And what Paul is telling Timothy is the false teaching has the effect of complete destruction. It's the opposite of what we read in Corinthians and other places in New Testament where it talks about edifying, right? It's not edifying. It's the opposite of edification. It ruins you, destructs you. Okay? And that's what Paul is getting at here. It says not to strive about words to no profit. Meaning, you know, don't be long-winded. Don't compromise with the word, right? There is no reason to go into things that are not important. Stick to what I just taught you in the first 13 words. Give the pure gospel. Talk to them about Jesus. Because when you let the false teachers seep in, and when you sit under a false teacher's olive tree, right, it is going to destroy you, ruin you, because they will mislead you. Verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And look what it is coming down to. You know, when you see, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, and there might be many ideas that come into mind. Oh, he's going to say, you know, I better pray X amount of time, or, you know, I live a exemplary life, a moral life, stay away from certain things, immoral behavior, and all of that might be true. But look, the reason that he gives, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right, he's speaking to a pastor. He's speaking to each and every one of us that the word is what matters. When you don't divide the word of rightly dividing the word of truth, if you look at the original Greek translation on this, it speaks to us about, you know, making the right cut, straight cut. Right, if you like to sew, you are a seamstress, or if you are a if you are a carpenter, where precision is required. You have to make sure the wood or the cloth is cut properly. If it's not cut properly, it's not going to fit properly. And that is that's what Paul is telling Timothy, that if you don't cut the word the right way, right, what you are building spiritually will be crooked and fall apart easily. Right, if you're trying to sew a dress, and if you don't have the right size cloth, you just basically cut without measuring or anything. It's going to be one ugly dress. Same thing if you are trying to build something as a carpenter, you need the right pieces to fit together. And this is what it means, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, I want to be diligent to present yourself approved to God. I want to speak to you about that for a minute. For all of us, no matter what ministry we are involved in, where God has us involved. Okay, I'll speak for myself. I teach, and we all need to remember. You know, we all need to remember something. You know, many times you guys will like what I teach, and you might encourage me with a word. You might say, hey, I love your teaching, or whatever the case might be, right? That there is praise, there is criticism, there is a lot of things out there, right? But when I sit down and when I teach, it's for audience of one. Whatever work that you do, where if you serve in a Sunday school, if you lead a youth group, if you are a pastor, you lead a Bible study, you lead a women's ministry, whatever you do, wherever God is using you, you are working for audience of one. It doesn't matter how much the people love your teaching. It doesn't matter how much they praise you. Okay? Doesn't matter how much you gather the crowd. Everything that, you know, the world throws at you, okay, to elevate you, right? Kind of make you prideful. None of it matters. And there are a lot of people who look for that, right? That's what they work for. Hey, I want a bigger building. I want a bigger audience. I want, I want more people listening to me on a television or whatever media they use, right? We all have to remember we are working, okay? We are doing what we do for audience of one. Because the only thing that matters is, are you approved by God? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Nothing else matters, right? At the end of the end of our life, whenever that is, when we are standing in front of God, all we want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. And we all need to remember this, that we need to present ourselves approved to God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nobody likes your post when you post something on a social media. It doesn't matter. Nobody likes your teaching or what. It doesn't really matter, right? You might not even have a ministry if they just may not like your Christian living. You know, so there are families where you might be the only one who's Christian, and the rest of the family probably is not so fond of you because you continue to bring Jesus into every situation. It doesn't matter. As I said, it's audience of one. Does your walk, does whatever you do approved by God? And that's where our focus needs to be. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. When we are doing things according to the will of God, when we are walking according to the will of God, if whatever we do is right according to the scripture, okay, then there is no reason for to be ashamed. That is the only criteria. Then we don't need to be ashamed. As Paul said, because of what he did for Christ, because of the gospel, he's in chains, in a dungeon, in a Roman prison. But that's not that does not bring shame to him. The thing that should bring shame to you is when you compromise the word of God, when you peddle the word of God for your own benefit. That's why in verse 16, right? This is the positive stuff. Then look what 16 says. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. More ungodliness. And I have something to say about this. Look, we as Christians need to stand up, right? But shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness. I try not to get very political in this Bible study. I try to, you know, stay focused on the Word of God. But if you look at our nation, right? If you look at our country and where it's headed, and you see, as it says in the book of Isaiah, now what is the good is being called evil, and evil is being called. When you look at the woke agenda that's out there. And if you look at the population, and if you look at the percentage of the population, people who enjoy that alternative lifestyle, right, or promoting that alternative lifestyle, are very few. Majority of us do not support such thing. But you know, the problem with us Christians are, we are a silent majority. Perhaps you have heard that phrase. We are a silent majority. We don't say anything. So we are not in our school boards. We are not anywhere where the decisions are made. And so the few who are there, they are loud. And thus, the policy is changed according to their wishes. Because we are silent. We are not there to oppose when this kind of ideas are introduced, which is ruining our children. This is an attack on our children. It's an attack on women. Right, because now a man, all he has to say is, "I identify as a woman," and now he can walk into a woman's bathroom. Where are all the feminists? How about this transgender men participating in a women's sport, taking over that sport because of their physical advantage they have? And I think we are in this place in the society, in this nation, is because Christians like us have failed to do what verse 16 says, but shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. If you look at the original Greek word, it says gangrene, okay? And their message will spread like cancer. Think about that. Have we seen this in our society? All of us are familiar with cancer, right? How fast it spreads. First of all, it spreads silently. Sometimes you don't even know until you are at the third or the fourth stage. And that's much like the ideology, the spiritual battle that we are facing today in our society. It spreads. Right? If you like to do gardening, you know, we are approaching spring. You know, soon you're going to start to plant whatever that you like to plant and do a little bit of a gardening. And you have to do some hard work. Gardening is not an easy work. When you have to dig and plant and, you know, all the stuff that you have to do, right? You have to get your hands dirty. And you have to kind of take care of whatever you plant. You have to make sure that you water it. You make sure that everything is okay. And hopefully you will see some flowers or some fruit if that's what you are planting. But if you ever noticed, you never have to plant weeds. Weeds just grow. And they are relentless, right? They are like flesh. They are relentless. No matter how many times you remove the weeds, they are back again. You don't have to work hard. And that's what a false teaching is like. That's what Paul is saying. But shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. And then he gives to name this man we met in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. And so he names these two false teachers. Once again, he had already put him out of the church, but I guess he's still around. He opened up a shop a couple of doors down. Okay? And look what they are teaching. They said, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Now, I don't know what exactly it means by saying that the resurrection is already past, but the resurrection is an essential truth, right? This is the kind of men that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, okay? When he says, we are not like this kind of men, right? He says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but my manifestation of the truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Hymenaeus and Philetus were not this kind of men. They were walking in a craftiness. They were handling the word of God deceitfully. And so they were teaching to that church at that time, the resurrection is already past. Now, as I started to say, resurrection is an essential doctrine for us, right? Without resurrection, right? Without the empty grave and the resurrection, then what are we talking about? That's what Paul says in Corinthians chapter 15, right? If Christ has not risen, then we are the worst of the people, believing in just a fairy tale. Our whole faith is grounded, right? The foundation is the resurrection. And believe it or not, you know, this is not what the probably Hymenaeus and Philetus were not teaching this, right? Perhaps they were saying that when you are there is a rebirth, that is the resurrection, or you know, there were a whole bunch of other false teaching associated with the resurrection at that time. Perhaps they were paddling that. But you know, today in our society, one of the fastest growing doctrine, okay, especially as far as the eschatology goes, is the kingdom now theology, meaning that the book of Revelation has already happened, you know, with the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, and that we are living in the kingdom age now. That's why it's called the kingdom now, that we have to bring kingdom. And there are a lot of variations. I cannot, you know, I cannot mention all of them. But the idea is, with the destruction of the temple, you know, because it says that the sky was darkened, that all the whole book of Revelation is just symbolic, okay, symbolic, and it has already happened, and we are in a kingdom age now. We have to bring the kingdom and present it to Christ. See, this is a very dangerous teaching. This is very dangerous teaching. Right? It's called the post-millennium view. And there are a lot of holes in it, but it is one of the things that is gaining popularity rapidly. There are more and more people are gravitated towards this kind of theology. Same thing. That's what he's saying. The resurrection is already taken place. Jesus Christ already came the second time. What we talk about in the rapture. They just, you know, you have to ignore a lot of scripture to get to this point. And what the result of it is, they overthrow the faith of some. So these are not the grounded people, right? These are the people that we find in Matthew chapter 7. These are the people who have built a home on a sand, not on a solid foundation of the Word of God. You see, that is the difference that we see here. Okay, this is what we have. Unless you have built your home on the rock, Jesus, right? On the cross, on the empty grave, on the resurrection. That's a solid foundation. When you do not have that, when a false teacher comes and starts peddling some kind of truth, because all they do is they take some truth from the Bible and then make it fit whatever that they are selling, and what happens is it leads to catastrophic results, where the spiritual home of many is overthrown. Overthrow the faith of some. This is the result that we have that when we don't pay attention. You know, this is why lately I have been very vocal about women pastor. And as I said, you know, a lot of those women on the pulpit they're not spreading the doctrine of demons all the time. But as I have said this number of times to you, okay, is when you look at a rat poison, about 98% of the substances in the rat poison is good for the rat. It is that 1.5% of the poison is what kills the rat. Okay? And it is the same thing for our spiritual life. The 98% of the message might be good, but is that 2% will kill your spiritual life. It will be catastrophic for your spiritual walk. Because Jesus said, be perfect as I am perfect. There is no deviation from the word of God. And when we listen to false teachers, right? How did all of these things, as we read before, for they will increase more ungodliness. How do you think we have homosexuals leading churches? How did they end up on the pulpit? How do we have women pastors all over the place? How did that happen? That is shunning the truth instead of the profane and idle babbling. That is compromising. That comes from the false teaching. That comes from the false teaching. And if we are not careful, right, as I said, which olive tree that you sit under matters. It matters because, you know, you just have to be off a little bit. As I said, 1% of poison. And, you know, when you are trying to navigate, you know, let's say if you are on the water and you are trying to navigate your boat, if you are just off a half a degree, it can put you in a harm's way, right? If you are flying a plane, you have to be accurate. Otherwise, you might be completely off course before you know it. And this scripture, the word of God, right, rightly dividing the word of truth, that is our lighthouse, right? That is the one that guides us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that's something we need to remember. It's no men, it's no church, it's none of those things matter. We let the scripture guide us. We let the Holy Spirit teach us. And verse 19, to finish up this Bible study, it says, nevertheless, right? He just said that they overthrow the faith of some. Think of those whose faith is overthrown like the seeds, you know, that fell in the rocky ground, okay? Or those seeds that did not bear fruit at all. But nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. What is the solid foundation of God? Those who have built their spiritual homes on the word of God, on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Having this seal, right? Seal at this time meant ownership. We have, look at having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And there are two things. There is an action required. Right, this thought that I just read in verse 19 comes from Numbers chapter 16. Let me read these two verses to you, and we'll close the Bible study. It's a Numbers chapter 16, verse 5 says, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, this is Moses, right, after the rebellion of Korah, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy. You see, same thing what we are reading. The Lord knows those who are his. Now, I don't know. I don't want you to go down a rabbit trail of a Calvinism here. Okay. The God is an omniscient God. He knows who are his. Doesn't mean that he has created people for destruction. He knows which one of us is going to accept, which one of us is going to be obedient. Okay. So I don't want to go down that road. And in that same chapter, Numbers 16, verse 26 says, which is the second part, and he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men, touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sin. You see, they all died. And there is an instruction here, touch nothing of theirs. Just like what it says here, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The word iniquity means gross injustice, profound immoral behavior, wickedness, right? When you are of God, that's a divine truth. When you have to walk in the obedient, that's a human responsibility, right? God knows who are his, but it's our responsibility to walk in truth, walk in obedience. And on this thought, just remember this thought about what he just said, that there are some who have been overthrown by faith, but then there is those who are strong in faith. Because this is an introduction to our Bible study next week. And I hope God has spoken to you through his word. I hope God has spoken to you through this his word. This is an incomplete message. Next week we will pick up right here and we'll see what God has to teach us through this wonderful portion of scripture as Paul talks to Timothy, rightly dividing the word of God. And you know, as we end, I just want to say this to you. If you ever find me compromising the word of God, I hope you call me out on that. I hope you correct me, because that's what we are supposed to do. Keep each other accountable to the word of God. Oh, Father, we come to you. And Lord, I submit each and every person here into your hand, Lord. Lord, help us to be aware of those false teachers, Lord. Help us to know the word, that we may read the word regularly for ourselves, that we may know when there is a wrong teaching. So Lord, we just ask you to use us where you may have us, Lord, and that wherever you have us, Lord, that we work to please you, to do the things that we need to do for the kingdom of God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.